What's up, everybody? This is Eric LeGrand, owner of LeGrand Coffee House, and you're now listening to the Chop Sports Podcast Network.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Thursday, June the 17th, 2021. Your host, Sturch and Gooch, and Pistol Pete, Production Pete, is MIA. He gets vacation days all of a sudden. Yeah. He was like, you know what? I'm going to the lake house, and so I'll see you guys Monday. I'm
like, I look at it like this. I don't have to buy extra fucking lunch
today. Just going to say, well, not even that. We get better bang for our buck, because if we get like a pizza today, we don't have to do the pizza math and stuff. That like he devours.
Production Eat.
I call him Production Eat. Usually it's Production Pete. He's turned into Production Eat. The kid eats like he's got a freaking tapeworm. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's a little later on the release. That's my fault. I needed to get pretty and get a haircut. Went to the Fit Barber Studios up in Chester.
You got rid of the long locks?
I did. I was like, you know what? It's too much maintenance. It's too much.
And you're wearing a hat every day anyway.
I said that. And I got a wedding this Saturday. So like, I was like, you know what? I hate styling it. It looks like I'm like, literally, when I styled this hair when it was before it was cut, I felt older. I was like, it's got this old thing, right?
And then the old dirty Genzo.
Yeah. Exactly. And my girl Steph over at Fit Barber cut my hair. And when she was done, she's like, you look younger. And I was like, now we're talking. But big night happened last night. Before we get into that, super special shout out to Ben Wexler, because we are like just predicting. I don't like to guarantee wins, and I know we're down one of our big hitters, but we're adding a big hitter. Romano's out. We have a big softball game tonight. It is the season finale, regular season finale, and then the playoffs will start next week. I'll shout out to Ben, who, again, released himself from the team. If you want to know the story, he released himself because he was pretty much the 12th player on an 11-player team. So he thought he was way...
10-player team.
That, you know what? Then he was the 12th player of a 10-player team. But no, for real, though. Like, he let himself go. He said, I want to play more. I respect that because I would probably do the same thing. Say, like, look, I don't want to be a bench player. I want to play. So that's fine. He lands with a team that's very similar to us. And we close the season. So it's a battle of who's going to get the better seed. And who knows? Maybe we even play him in the first round. It's one of those like 4-5 matchups or something. I don't know. But you ready to play? I mean,
yeah, I'm good to go.
Okay.
We're going to find out just how ready I am. But yeah, I'm going to play.
I'm not asking for your game time status. Yeah, I know you're going to play.
You know I'm going to play. But how absolutely. Do I feel?
Yeah.
I feel good.
Okay. That's all that matters. Like, we got to have everybody at 100%. Hopefully your brother is like track minded, where I know his mind is on the plane tomorrow.
I might when I walk up to the bench, I might take the bat and smash all the Tito's bottles right out of the gate.
This is a
must win game.
Yeah, it is a must win game. We probably can't get that Tito's bottle away from Liz, but from everybody else, like, you know, the role players of this game, which I did the averages the other day, and that was very... That was very
generous.
Loose. No, not generous. Well, there was
a little... I got a call from Joey D. I guess someone sent, my brother sent him the averages.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, yeah, he was like, I think they gave me a few of those fielder's choice that I got, that I grounded
possibly,
into.
Possibly.
Were called base hits.
Yeah, you know what? Look, softball, you're not even supposed to keep stats, but I'm a stat nerd, so I'm just, and I was curious, like, how should I do the lineup in a must-win game? Let's get the best players up first, and let's get me batting last, because I'm having a terrible offensive and defensive season. I'm coming to realize that it's not that I want to stop playing softball. It's just that I need to, I don't know. I don't know what I got to do, but I got to do something, because you're not supposed to bat under like 600 in softball.
No, 600 is a good batting average in anything. You know, I would say under 500.
And I'm under five, I think. I'm pretty sure I'm under five.
But where we're at right now is if you get two hits today, you're going to be above five.
Yeah, because my at-bats are very low. Yeah. So I have a chance to end the season on a high note on a personal level, just to get my, you know, my value up a little bit next year when there's a fantasy draft and people don't want to take me in the last round, you know? I feel like Jimmy Palumbo.
Hey, man, I haven't done the book and I won't do the book, so there's something to be said for that, where you got to play us. I can't do it because I don't have the mental capacity to process when I fuck up and then have to, like, do a homework in the middle of the game.
Oh, yeah. Well,
things like that.
The only time I give it off is usually to Carl.
If someone hands me the book, you know what I do with it? I put it right down on the bench, and I'm like, I don't know why anyone handed me that, because you must not know.
you must think I do the book around here.
Yeah, I hope you can keep track in your head everything that happens in the middle of these plays that you're running the bases because I'm not doing it.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. I, like I said, I know nobody checks the book. We literally would only have to keep runs, and you know, and that's probably the only thing that any team cares about. But like I said, I'm a stat nerd, and I wanted to see who's doing well. And look, we got a couple guys that rip the goddamn cover off the ball every time they're up bat. I think Bobby has literally, our pitcher, has like six home runs, over-the-fence home runs. You know what I'm saying? He's got a friggin' stick. And then, obviously, Romano is good, and LaCorey is amazing. We have ourselves. Carl is on-base percentage. Like, I think his average is like 800-something, but his on-base is like 9-something because he's always walking. We got a team.
He does a bat flip when he walks.
That was drunk induced. I think he was on his way to. Yeah, I don't think he was in the right track of mind. But anyway, big game tonight. I'm excited. We'll talk about it tomorrow. See how we do. Last night, before we get into anything else, do you think there's any merit to these new baseball allegations? Is there legs to this? There's a reporter out there. I forget his name.
Spader. What a Michael Rapaport's fucking
brother.
Stunt double. Fucking snitch, so, bitch.
It was just a weird way to deliver something like that. Like, I'm going to sleep on it, and then I'll see how I feel in the morning.
Like, and he's like, I'm just tired of this. What do you mean? Now you're so tired of it that now that's all we're going to deal with.
Right. You just opened up the biggest can of worms.
And where's any look, I'm not here to say that nobody's cheating or everybody's cheating. I have no idea, and I'm at a point now, Dave, where I don't fucking care. Right? And it's not because
like we're back at the hockey ring when you're saying Dave at the end.
And it's not because it's the Yankees, it's because it's not only the Yankees. He's calling out Chase Utley. Chase Utley's barely been relevant for the last 8 years.
Is he still in the league?
No.
All right.
So like my point is like why are we even hearing about Chase Utley now? Why are we hearing about the Royals? Like they were saying Baltimore cheated. Well, they didn't do a fucking good job because I don't think they've won more than 60 games in a season.
They've been over 500 in like 10 years. But
look, if it's happening, and I need more proof than some jerk off saying that this guy said that.
Well,
that
not
guy
even
said.
That. Like his proof was like home and away splits with Aaron Judge, and I'm like, don't you typically play better at home? Like,
people play better in their home ballpark? No fucking way. Are you serious? Right. I play better at Warren Park. Right. You know, like.
Is that why you asked where the game was tonight?
Yeah, of course.
You texted me before, where's the game tonight? I'm like, why does he care right now? You've got to get a headspace. But, no, I mean, look, like, he's saying that there's guys in center field, like, waving beaters with binoculars. We were talking to Ibby about it yesterday before he recorded Till Mets Do Us Part, which is now available today, episode 8. But he's saying that guys are waving things. Like, you're telling me
a guy standing in center field with a wife beater circling it around the top of his head, I have an idea. Check the tape. Is the guy in center field waving a wife beater around the top of his head every third pitch? Every other? I don't think so.
According to this guy, this writer, who I keep Spader, he keeps saying that there's a lot of cheating going on, and he's going to expose them all. And I truly don't understand the motive, other than clicks and maybe people following him on Twitter now.
And he's trying to like ruin his career because if you're a baseball reporter and your job is to report and get inside information, why would anybody trust this guy going forward?
Now which clubhouse is going to let this guy in? Not going to happen. Right. I'm not in the Chop Sports softball.
I think
clubhouse.
That you could, everybody could sit here and say, oh, this one's a cheater, that one's a cheater. I've learned very recently, with this whole Astros thing, like last year, the Yankees have been in a lawsuit with Major League Baseball or certain people that have been saying that the Yankees did something, and they've been suing people to keep a hush order on them. And so far to this point, it's worked. We don't know, man. You know, I feel like everybody is cheating. I feel like that's been the case since 1910.
Right. I think it just needs to be an even playing field, and everything has to be understood. We'll get more into the Yankees later on because there's plenty of to talk about with the Yankees. But we start with the NBA, as we segue away from these Spader allegations. I don't want to give this guy any more legs than he thinks he has right now, and not to say that our, you know, certain amount of people that listen to us every day are going to be like, well, now it's time to look it up. Look it up. See for yourself. You know what I mean? That's my only advice.
No, I have a better idea. Don't look it up. Just go into Chop Sports and peek the threads that we have going in there. You don't need to go click on his shit.
Very
just go
true.
To Chop Sports.
Chop Sports. But by the way, good work on the iTunes channel, which dropped yesterday. We'll get more into that. We almost don't want to tell anybody because our new logo's there. So now I already kind of just let it go. So anyway, you can go check it out over on iTunes. But anyway, last night, one of the craziest things. Another comeback story involving a team from Atlanta. You know, but this time, it's on the right side of history. The Hawks were dead to rights the entire... I didn't really watch the beginning of that game because I was focused on the Yankees. And I just kept looking at the score. I'm like, oh, geez, it's over. You know, I can't believe the Sixers are just doing them dirty. Doing them dirt. The 76ers social media's Twitter put, is this when we are allowed to rest? You know, at halftime, when the halftime score came out, like, can we rest now? Like, can we just, like, take a breath? And obviously, you can't. Because now the 76ers blew a 26-point lead. Trae Young scores 37 points. No, I'm sorry, 39 points. I was looking at Embiid stats. That's not the story. To me, that's not the story. It's not the Hawks' comeback. It's the 76ers' collapse.
Bro, two guys on the Sixers hit a field goal in the second half. Just two. Embiid and Curry. That's it. Nobody else on their entire team hit a field goal in the second half.
And when it comes down to
the... And Embiid played like shit in the second half.
Bro, what is with the... I mean, I know they're professionals. You almost want to say to yourself, like, ah, look, it's a free throw. Make the damn free. You know, you've been doing it your whole life. Don't miss. Have a 80% or 90% free throw percentage. But then there's guys like Shaq that just go against everything we've ever just said. But Embiid, bro, you got to make these shots, and you got to just put this game on ice, or get back in it. Like,
it's the same thing with Giannis, with Embiid and Ben Simmons and all these guys. Like, these guys are want to be considered greats. You know, Embiid talking about, people are talking like he's the MVP. You need to elevate your game in the postseason. You see Luka elevates his game. You see Donovan Mitchell elevates his game. Dame elevates his game. Giannis shrinks. Embiid shrinks. Ben Simmons, where are you at, bro? I just got done praising him the other day. I was like, Ben Simmons is doing a real good job on Trae Young, and he's a great defender, but bro,
you gotta score.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You gotta score.
There was a post. I don't know who posted it. I think it was Mike Salerno.
Okay.
The Squeaky Bum Time. He posted something that he saw on Twitter, and it was a girl is saying, like, how is Ben Simmons really sliding in my DMs right now when we're tied 2-2 looking for a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals? And then underneath it, the guy was like, well, you'd be the first three he's hit in months. So that's clutch. That was classic.
I love it. Was it a real tweet, though?
Yeah, that was a real tweet.
So somebody actually called him out.
That's the only good thing that's come out of Philadelphia in the last fucking 3 months.
That's the only thing.
Is that tweet.
Philadelphia is just a shitstorm, and I'm so glad. I mean, not that I was the first and the only one to see that fan, but that boy was just, he was just miserable.
That's when crystal meth meets fucking NBA playoffs. That's what I saw.
Dude, he was looking hit, bro. Very hit, and I was like, this is the epitome. I took a picture. I didn't even grab that from anywhere. I took a picture of my television. I'm like, this guy is funky looking. And he was depressed, and as he should be. That entire city was let down last night, which, again, when you're talking to me personally, Dave Sturch, I hate the city of Philadelphia with a burning passion. And when I saw those fans with their hands on their heads, like, oh, my God, you know, just in total disbelief of what just happened, I became even more of a Trae Young fan. Yeah. Like, I hated Trae Young 2 weeks ago. I wanted him to get hit by a bus. But then I'm seeing this, and I'm like, this is,
it's like Dave, amazing. It's like a Knicks fan liking Reggie Miller at this point.
Right. Right. I felt dirty, but at the same time, I was like, this is amazing. This is so much fun to watch Philadelphia just rot. Look, these are the same jerk-offs that threw snowballs at Santa. These are the same people that cheered when Michael Irvin was motionless on what do we call that field?
Not
the link. That's the new one. Why can't I think of the vet? Name? The vet. Yes, he was on the floor of the concrete vet, which is like,
good thing we got that because Pete's not here.
Right. Right. Exactly. Good thing that we just kind of jogged our own memory. But yeah, man. Like the Philadelphia crowd, like they won a Super Bowl, and my man punched a horse in celebration and ate shit. Literally ate the horse shit. a lot of people say horse shit.
Bro, I've spent extensive time in the city of Philadelphia over the past three years. Ashley went to Temple.
Yes.
So I was always there. And honestly,
I feel like she went to Delaware?
Her sister goes to Delaware.
Okay.
So the city is nice. The people aren't really shitty people as a whole. But when they go to a game, I feel like they have something to prove. They have something to live up to.
Right,
like, asshole.
People probably think we're scumbags. Let's turn it up. You know what I mean? Like, let's turn it up a notch. And they did all the time. The only thing I can say about Philadelphia, I'm a huge Rocky guy. Like, that's the only thing I can say good about Philly. I've ran the steps. You know, like, I did the whole thing. And
you should try and get Mike Kunda on the podcast.
Oh my God!
If you guys don't know who,
since
Mike,
he's unemployed, right?
Mike
as far
Kunda
as the podcasts
is.
Are concerned. That's hilarious.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, please don't look him up because it's a shit show. It was funny for a minute, but then it's just kind of, meh, all right. But so that game, unbelievable. Now you go back to Philadelphia. No, you go back to Atlanta. Atlanta up 3-2. They could put it on ice, I believe, tomorrow. So it's just, it's incredible. It's an incredible story. Can Atlanta make this improbable run? They have a roadblock coming up to them, whether it be the Nets or the Bucks. You know, it's going to be a fun series if they can get this
done. The Bucks ain't doing shit.
That's what I'm saying. If it's not the Nets, I think the Atlanta Hawks have a good chance to go to the championship if they get past Philly. That's a thing. It's crazy to say, but I think it's a thing. We went from the Knicks saying we can take Atlanta to they're going to be the champions, or at least the Eastern Conference reps. You know,
who knows at this point what's going to happen? Now you got Utah down 3-2, well, right?
Yeah.
Not to segue ahead of the time.
No, it's fine.
But we got Utah down 3-2. You got Chris Paul out with COVID, apparently. And it's not just protocol. He has COVID.
He has the pandemic.
In the East, you don't know what's going on with the Nets. And then Milwaukee is just soft.
Very.
So we'll see.
And all 5'11".
If there's anybody that's playing with a head of steam right now, it is Atlanta. But yeah. I just don't know if they have the parts.
We'll see. I mean, they got a lot of nice shooters. That's for sure. I mean, the big guy underneath, what's his name? The guy,
Capella.
Mini Zion. He's a chippy player.
He's probably bigger than Zion. He's just he's a big.
Zion's a monster.
Yeah, but he's 6'8".
Yeah, but Zion's a taller, no?
No.
No, he's just 300 pounds.
Yeah, he's like 280. 6'8", 280, and he could jump high.
You mentioned right before that the Jazz now are down 3-2. The Clippers, of all teams, are one win away from getting to the Western Conference Finals. They get a win 119-111. Now, I didn't watch much of this game. I saw the beginning of it, kind of faded. Again, old. I just drop. I just fade. I try, and it just didn't happen. And I was already like,
neither team missed in the first half. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, I saw that part. I saw that everybody was hitting their shots. Paul George goes for 37. So that series, again, the control is in Los Angeles now. And all of a sudden, you called it. You said this series would go seven. And the Clippers would win it. And now the Clippers are one win away from winning it.
The only problem is Kawhi might be done for the rest of the postseason.
Well, they called it an ACL, right?
Yeah, but it could be a strain. Either way, when you're fucking with a bad ACL.
No, it's not. It's not. No bueno.
It's not like he's got a month to take off and get right.
No.
So,
and they got to win games right now. They don't have that luxury of being off a week.
And it could just be torn, and they're just not saying it yet. So Kawhi could be out for a better part of next year, too. We just don't know it yet.
That sucks.
LeBron complaining.
You know what it is, tweet,
bro. But, I mean, he's...
Is this because the season kind of picked up right away after the last championship and there was no downtime?
There was no downtime and just the schedule, dude. There, you know, they had no break. The way they all went down with the bubble, there was no off season.
Yeah, but half the teams didn't even play.
Look at the amount of injuries that took place this year. Look at the amount of injuries in the playoffs. There is some.
So you're behind this idea.
I'm not behind anything. I'm saying that he might have a point.
Right.
You know.
Look,
nobody wants to watch Kawhi going down. I mean, Chris Paul got COVID. There's nothing you could do about that.
But he had a shoulder issue. I mean, that was a thing. Yeah. I mean, look. And look at the Nets. For Christ's sakes,
they're just mentally weak. There's a difference.
The poster boys of injuries right now as they take on Milwaukee tonight in game six. So they won last game. Durant had an all-world game. I don't know the status of these players yet. I haven't really got a chance to sit down and look. But you said that it would be okay for a guy like James Harden, Jim Harden, to sit down and sit this one out, because the backs aren't against the wall necessarily. So maybe he does suit up and his minutes are limited. Cause I mean, look, if you played last game, the entire game, you can't just not play the next game. I don't think it's a thing. I don't think it's a thing at all. I can't see Steve Nash saying, take this one off. You know what I mean? You might need him.
We'll see. We'll find out. When is it tonight?
Yeah, it's tonight. So, we'll find out today at some point.
So, what's going on tonight? We're not doing big shots.
No. I was very disappointed in what went down when I was there. You know, the night was supposed to be over, you know, and I went out there. I said, let's continue this party. And, you know, me and you parted ways. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, let's rage, you know, let's get to all the guys. Let's go. And, a lot of our Chop Sports brethren were not let in. And they were told that last call was at midnight. On a Friday in the summer. That's obviously not the truth. You know, considering what time I got home, that's definitely not the truth. You know what I mean? So, I was very upset. We pumped a lot of money into that place the last couple of months. So I get we're nobody special, but at least, we consider them every time we had an event or every time we had a post game after the game. So tonight, I think I really like to watch the game with Shine. I really would. I think going to Miller's Ale House in Woodbridge after a softball game tonight would be fun. Plus, you know, I had their pretzel the other night. It was orgasmic, and I loved it, and I think I want it again. Yeah, so
I ate 11 things.
You really did, bro. I was
starving.
Betty, our friend Betty, who's the bartender there, when I ordered my food, I was like, can I get the pretzel? And a side order of French fries, because I'm a fat friggin' guy. All of a sudden, you're like, can I get the pot stickers and this and then this and then this? And I was like, well, that's a lot of food. And then, like, she's like, do you want all this to come out together? I said, yeah, because, I mean, we're all just going to eat one thing. But then as soon as all the food came out, you're like, all right, here's my main course. This is what I want. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, I can't.
And I ate it all. Usually I
have... Dude, I didn't see a goddamn thing on the plate after you guys were done. You and Ash, like, went in on that food. But I digress with that. But, yeah, maybe we'll go over there tonight. I mean, it's up to everybody else. I mean, I don't really care other than not going to Big Shots. So, yeah. And besides, I mean, like, I have to take out a second mortgage every time the bill comes.
Exactly. That's my main thing. I give
They're
a
all
fuck.
Like, you're all together. I'm like, no, we're actually not all together. You know what I mean? Like, how easy was it to sit at Miller's the other night?
Or what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to bring a $20 bill, and I'm going to place it on the table and leave.
<You're> like, kind of what everybody else did. So, yeah.
Whoever's the last person standing is the...
They're like, oh, man, I'm going to get out of here. Here's what I owe. And they leave. And then, you know, the bill comes and it's $280 and they have a 20. And you're like, yeah.
And I'm like a serial tipper. So then I got like this $240 bill. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got to tip this person $70.
Right. So whatever. It's just funny. Yeah, dude, look, I support our boys before I support a local establishment. The establishment is Chop Sports. So that's where my heart and my allegiance lies. So Ray Ray, Jack, all you guys out there, if you want to go watch the Nets game tonight, come on over to Miller's Ale House and we'll all have a seat. All right? So we'll all have a seat. You've heard us talk about Jess and Sunflower Meadow Seasoning for a couple months now, and as the weather gets nicer, business is starting to pick up. So right now, for a limited time, Chop Sports fans get to partner up with Sunflower Meadow Seasoning. We're going to create an exclusive product line just for us. We present to you Chop Sports Dip. That's right, it's a cheddar beer dip. And on top of that, we're going to create Chop Sports Dust, which is a Chicago Steakhouse Chop Dust. Check us out in person on June 19th at the St. James Fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And if you mention Chop Sports, you're going to receive $2 off your purchase of $15 or more. Check out Sunflower Meadow Seasoning online at sunflowermeadowseasonings.com. We segue into the New York Yankees. Little too much stress last night. They do win the game. But, dude, first of all, like, Gerrit Cole's on the hill. It's funny. I'm watching ESPN right now, and then the interview is being played. Cole goes 8. I thought he should have went 9. Is there a rule that these guys aren't allowed to pitch complete games anymore?
Yeah, they're paying their fucking closer $20 million a year. So that's the rule.
So that he just has to get X amount of appearances?
I mean, like, what, you're sitting Chapman down in the 9th, even though he almost fucking...
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting to.
But, yeah, man, you're paying him to close games out, and that's baseball now.
That's baseball, too.
And you look around the league, and all these guys are starting to get hurt, and Gerrit Cole had a lot to say about that.
I mean, look.
Post game,
look, the Yankees get it done. Chapman put second and third, no outs. Right away, I'm like, I can't believe, like, all that Cole performance, 8 innings pitched, solid game, gets washed because we're about to just give up a base hit and the game's going to be over. Terrible base running by Vlad Guerrero Jr. You know, that ball was hit right back to Chapman. The guy's halfway down the line. You don't do that. You got to wait to see where it goes, at least. So then Chapman, Sanchez, he throws it home. Sanchez throws it to third.
Great play.
What a laser by Sanchez. He's playing great, both sides of the ball. I don't want to get too hyped about Gary Sanchez.
Chapman almost fucked that up because he should have pump faked to home and thrown right to third. Because he almost didn't get him.
Well, no, he threw him right to first. Get the force at first because there's no force.
No, like my point is, like, he had him hung up and threw home way so too early.
Yeah, it was an extra step he didn't have to take. Absolutely, I agree. But yeah, so Guerrero, base running blunder, then it went from second and third, no outs, to first and second, one out, then a great strikeout, and then the game's over, boom, we win. Fly out to Gardner, in which I thought was going to definitely drop in, and I was like, no! You know, I had that one little heart.
Kind of like me out there.
It's kind of like me out there, considering how bad I am in right center. But now, so the Yankees, they get the win. It was a little more stressful than we thought or needed to be, but the real story is after Gerrit Cole's post-game interview. First of all, And there's not too many guys who can, with swag, say, for Pete's sake. He said, for Pete's sake. And I was like,
I was
what the fuck did he just say?
I thought he was crying when he said that at that point. I didn't watch the interview and I heard his voice. And I was like, is he okay?
There's a voice that me, my dad, and my brother call the cry voice. It just means like you're on your way. Like we've said it so many times in the in our.
He almost hit the lip quiver.
Yeah. He had this like, you know, like just.
I mean,
like,
for Pete's sake. Yeah. I mean, guys,
gee, like gee willikers, man. So, but his main concern is that you said it before, and I didn't know this. He's boys with Glass now, and now Glass now.
Yeah, they came up together. I think it's
over. Right, so his season's over. Cole is complaining that there's no grip in the baseball. I don't think
the season is officially over yet because they haven't announced that he's going to do the Tommy John.
UCL thing.
Yeah, but it's a partial tear, so they're going to try and rehab it.
Maybe. Okay, well.
Yeah, remember I said Tanaka did the whole rehab, the partial tear.
But yeah, so he was very emotional, and he said, I can't grip the baseball, and he goes, guys are going to get hurt.
He's like, it's just really hard. and then he finished by saying, I'm Tim Kirkjian. That's how he said it to me.
Bro, not for nothing, but. He did say guys are going to get hurt, and I don't know. At first, you're thinking like he's talking about other pitchers, but now he's talking about not being able to grip the ball, and he's going to beam somebody in the head, yeah, kill somebody.
He's like, I don't want anybody to get drilled by my 99 mile an hour heater,
right? So, and then
when he was talking about guys getting hurt, I can't help but wonder if he's talking about that other guy that pitches in New York who's suddenly dealing with nagging injuries. Now, I'm not. Throwing stones. I'm not pointing fingers, but maybe I'm just saying.
Three,
I'm
two,
just saying.
One.
All of a sudden, the MLB cracks down, and Jacob DeGrom is now leaving. I think a couple starts.
Couple starts in a row now with shoulder tightness.
With shoulder tightness, he did get another ribby though.
He now leads the league,
so he might not be able to pitch. But you guys have a failed shortstop that you could now. I mean,
when they play
DH
AL teams, and you just go play DH. But no, for real, like as we segue into that, after the Cole, you know, incident and all that nonsense, we do segue. The Mets, listen, again, Mets win again. You know, so it's they're 10 games over 500. That team is going to probably make the playoffs. Unless unforeseeable things, I think the Mets are a postseason team as it stands right now. But, as you just said, Jacob DeGrom leaves the game again. With Alan Austin in attendance, by the way, our buddy from Chart Choppers, go check that show out. He's in attendance. He was like, I can't wait to watch this. And so, of course, me being the prick I am, from the Chop Sports Twitter, I was like, how'd that go? You know, like, he's like, three innings of bliss, he said. So, but he leaves again. So, what do the Mets got to do right now? Because, look, you alluded to it.
I would shut them down until they're allowed to use the rosin and the sunscreen again. Because I don't think that DeGrom was using that extra shit, that spider tech. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty positive that it's consensus now that everyone could agree that all pitchers were using the other stuff.
And when you say other stuff, it's just sunscreen that you probably have on your body anyway because you don't want to get roasted out there. Like if you're playing day games, guess what? We've sat in the stands in day games. We go home red and roasted. Those guys are out in the field the entire time. They need sunscreen. So if you mix sunscreen on your arm with the rosin in your hand, you'll get a better grip on the baseball. And I don't think that I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know the science behind it, how much it would throw on your how many inches it would drop on your curveball. I don't know. But, like, come on, man. Like, if now all of a sudden two of your premier pitchers in the league.
Well, just think
are
of what,
down.
What happens when you can't grip something.
You lose
well.
It.
No, well, if, like, say, like, oh, I this is falling out of my hand. What do? You squeeze harder.
Right.
Right? So now pitchers are used to pitching with a certain pressure on the ball because they had that little bit of help with the grip. Now,
correct.
Now that's gone. So what they're doing is they're squeezing harder. It's putting extra strain on their forearm muscles,
on
their tendons.
I never even thought about that.
And now pitching of major leagues is crazy. You know, the torque that you're putting on your arm is not natural at all, which is why you see all the injuries anyway. So now you're squeezing something harder and then flicking your wrist. It's only science, bro. It's literally like something's going to give. And it is. And now you're starting to see it. I don't want to see Major League Baseball run into the same issue that the NBA is having right now
where all of a sudden
stars are leaving. And then you're going to see brawls because people are getting hit. I mean, come on. Hitters
it's a nasty chain reaction that could possibly potentially happen in baseball. And look, again.
I mean, for Pete's sake, guys. You're so windy.
Hey, Bud Selig, can you believe?
No, it's not even Bud Selig anymore. It's the fucking douche nozzle.
What the hell? Why can't I think of his
Manfred.
Name? Manfred. Why did I say Bud Selig? I did mention Bud Selig.
Well,
yesterday.
Bud Selig is another one that turned a blind eye to the home run, the steroid era.
Because he knew, guess what? Because everybody was watching his product.
We had Sammy Sosa and fucking Mark McGwire hitting 580-foot home runs in the home run derby at Miller Park that Bud Selig put on this big extravagant event. What was he, dumb? Are you fucking kidding me?
Right. You know what's funny?
Steroids saved baseball.
You bring that up. Steroids did save baseball, and I agree, because now you have the long ball. Chicks dig the long ball. Yeah, it's a thing.
Dingers. Sosa hit 60 home runs 4 years in a row.
Right.
What?
Right.
And now he's white.
Yeah, what the frick happened to him? But anyway, no, it's funny. I was just going to bring this up. During that chase, that McGuire and Sosa thing, how shitty was the breaking home run? It was a laser line drive.
And he overran first base like a fucking clown.
Just got over the wall. I'll never forget that, watching it live as it happened. I'm like, you couldn't crush that one? You know, like that
one. It couldn't happen to a less likable person.
Mark McGuire. You don't like Mark McGuire?
Never liked him. Yeah. Never liked him.
I kind of like Big Mac. I was always a Big Mac guy.
Fuck him.
I was going to say Big Mac guy, but I don't even eat meat, so that's not even the case. We need to order food, though.
I hate Tony La Russa.
Well, that too. I mean, that's a thing. Look, you know, hopefully baseball gets this all sorted out. Hopefully Jacob DeGrom is okay. Look, we're not here at Chop Sports to wish these guys.
I want
to
see Jacob DeGrom make history. I want to see all those things.
Shit,
he's a great
bro.
Fucking watch, man. He's doing crazy things, but I think it might be time. I think you alluded to this question earlier. It might be time to possibly shut him down.
Until it's absolutely
until they're allowed to use the stuff.
Well, not even that. Just like
I'm fucking.
But yes, you're
turning the knife.
Stoking the fire.
Stoking the flames.
Okay. Anyway, but I'm saying, if you do have a shoulder thing and it's a tightness thing, shut it down for a little while. Your team is 10 games over 500. Your team plays well. It's not like you're losing games until DeGrom gets on the hill.
And then when
you have
the Braves out there making bonehead plays and handing the games to the Red Sox like a scumbag.
Thanks. You know, very appreciative of
it's
that,
not like there's way. Teams in their division that are really. That are clicking right now, so they have a little bit of room.
They got some wiggle room to get it right
If DeGrom does go down and needs some type of crazy, God forbid, it's over. So you could weather the storm a little bit. Give him 3 weeks. Let him
Put him on a 20-day or whatever the hell the rules are now. But like, just give him some rest. The Mets will be fine. The Yankees have won two in a row now. If they win one tonight, that's called a winning streak. So we'll see if that can go down.
And I think
Mets
fans will agree.
Yes, honestly, I can't imagine. I saw a lot of banter between that. Shut them down. That seems to be the consensus. They're not sitting there like, but we can't win without them. You know, like they know.
I wonder if like how Major League Baseball is going to navigate through this entire mess, because I don't think that the Spader thing is going to get any traction.
I don't see that.
I really don't, because
either.
It's like, come on, bro. Like, what? You're just saying words. I need to see facts. Like, are they going to open investigations based off of what this guy said? I don't know. But that aside, how are they going to pull back on, like, okay, no, you could use that stuff. That's cool.
Maybe a letter needs to go out to the teams, not the media, to the team saying, look, we wanted to brush this. We wanted to.
But there's going to be so many players. It's like, it's not going to be quiet. It's not going to be kept quiet, because the players are like, okay, well, what about the guys that are now fucking out for the year?
It's very interesting.
It's, you know, there's a lot of outspoken guys, and rightfully so. Could you imagine them, Trevor Bauer, reading that email and then being like, oh, I'll keep my mouth shut? Not going to fucking happen.
He's still one of my favorite pitchers in the league, players in the league, value. But yeah, so. With that, all the teams on the dock tonight. We'll find out what the Mets do with DeGrom. Obviously, his situation, he's not pitching again. But the Yankees are back on tonight trying to get the sweep of the Blue Jays. Need to have that one. It's not a four-game set, is it? I don't even know. I probably should.
They played on
Tuesday, Wednesday, and now tonight, Thursday. It's probably done. They probably have a weekend series. I'm an idiot. I'm sitting here with friggin', you know, ESPN up and looking right in my face. So I'll just look real quick before we wrap things up. The New York Yankees start a series with Oakland tomorrow. Tomorrow. So let's get the sweep. Let's get this done. On the hill today, Thursday is Michael King. What the? All right, so I guess they don't want the sweep. He's an opener. Jesus Christ, bro. Oh, whatever. I digress with that one. I'm not going to get into that theory of why teams use openers. But anyway, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, go check out all the shows that dropped today. I'm Your Football Team, episode 2 with Keith Ernst, and of course his buddies Arthur and why can't I think of the other guy's name?
I don't know, the Jablooks,
the two Jablooks, Arthur OG and Michael Fury. There you go. I don't know why that was taking me a second, but then go check them out. Episode 8 of Till Mets Do Us Part. Ibby was in here yesterday. And I preface this in the post today. I was like, this episode was recorded in the afternoon of this game. So this was before all the DeGrom shit that happened. So they're probably in the uppity up mood. They're all like, hey, everybody, you know, get your crosses out. Jesus DeGrom is on the hill tonight. Yeah, DeGrom Day. So they're probably excited. But go check those guys out tomorrow. The debut of the goddamn Jets here on the Chop Sports Podcast Network. Very, very excited to introduce those guys to all you Neanderthals out there listening. Yeah, so we'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week and talk about some softball and talk about, you know, everything that happens tonight in the world of sports. So thank you guys for listening. For Sturch and Gooch, we will see you guys tomorrow.
Everybody, make sure you check out that shoulder scab tonight.